Hey there, it's Melissa Brunetti, and welcome to the Mind Your Own Karma podcast.
Hey there, Karma Crew. Thanks for joining me for this episode of Mind Your Own Karma, The Adoption Chronicles. And it's funny, if you're watching the video on YouTube, I feel like I'm about to do a Karma Files episode, like one of my spooky paranormal episodes that I used to do back in the day, because it's so dark in here. I've been having major computer issues, and I am working on this late at night, so it is dark, and I hope this comes out because this is about the fourth take of this episode that I'm doing, and yeah. So anyway, thanks for joining me. I am doing a solo episode today. I just wanted to bring up something. I was on TikTok the other day, just scrolling through, and came across a video from, it looked like China, and it was an adoption video, very triggering, even for me. And it showed a worker at the orphanage bringing out a child, maybe 9 months, 10 months old, and handing it to a very nice looking white woman with blonde hair. And the worker handed the child over to the lady, and as soon as the child got in her arms, the child started crying and reaching towards the worker and was in flight and fright mode, trying to get away from this woman who, you know, poor lady, was trying to comfort this child. So she was holding him tightly, him or her tightly, and patting him on the back and kissing him on the cheek and, you know, kind of bouncing him up and down, trying to tell them it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. And the child was just traumatized. You could see it in its face. And the harder the child struggled, the more the lady held tight to the child. And pretty soon the baby stopped crying and just had such a look on its face. I can't even describe it. Sadness. It wasn't sadness. It was defeat. It was defeat. And it was surrender. And it was the saddest thing I think I've seen in a long time. It really, really got to me. I kept watching it and just thinking, this isn't real. This isn't real. This isn't happening to this poor child right now. And so I decided to repost the video. And I put a caption that said something to the effect of, tell me adoption trauma doesn't exist or something like that. And not that I should be surprised at some of the comments that I got, but I was pretty shocked at some of the comments I got. Some pretty attacking comments. And I was just like, did you just watch this poor child on the screen? Did you just watch that video? How could you be so cold and heartless after watching that child? I just couldn't understand, where's the humanity? The only thing I can think of is that people really want to stay ignorant. They do not want to know the truth about adoption trauma. And it just really hit home for me, the fact that I need to keep doing this podcast, and you all need to keep coming on podcasts and telling your stories, good, bad, or otherwise. They're all stories about adoption, every single one of them, and every single one is educating the world about the intricacies of an adoptee or a birth mother or an adoptive parent. And all three of us need to come together and keep telling our stories. That is the only way that we are going to make a difference. And I'm wanting to know, what is the difference that you are wanting to see in the adoption industry? And how do you think we can continue to change that industry for the better? You know, right now, the adoption industry is a $75 billion a year industry. The selling of children for profit. That should not be happening, selling children for profit. It should not be putting price tags on children's heads. You know, I've been hearing things that ethnicity and the way a child looks or where they're from or how old they are can dictate what that price tag is on that child. And I just remember as a kid growing up, the Cabbage Patch dolls. And if you ever had one or even saw them in the store, if you ever went shopping for one, that's kind of, now I'm like looking back going, wow, that's kind of adoption. Like you go there and you're like, I want a blonde haired, blue eyed little girl with long hair and a little freckle on her face. And, you know, had the birth certificate where you write your name in and the baby's name. And, you know, looking back, I'm just like, wow, we were normalizing that. We were buying these Cabbage Patch dolls and adopting them and not even realizing, you know, what we were doing. But I mean, it's true of the industry, right? You can go into an agency, sit down, have a baby brought to you, and you literally can say, I'll wait for the next one. This one isn't really quite what I was expecting. You know, I wanted a brown-haired, brown-eyed daughter that might look like me, and this one's got red hair and green eyes, so I'll wait for the next one. That's not the Cabbage Patch doll I wanted. And since I'm paying for it, I want to get what I want, right? I don't know, the whole thing is just so disheartening and just really disgusts me. And so hearing these comments that people were saying, it was literally the craziest thing. So this one lady says, by the end of the video, the baby calmed and was resting in her mother's arms, weighing the option this child has. I'm thinking this is better. I'm just like, did you see the child's face? That wasn't calmed and resting. That was defeat and sadness and grief. Like, I don't know what you were watching. And, you know, this one. So everyone should stop adopting children and let them stay in orphanage, being abused and not loved or cared for. And I just said there are other alternatives to explore first. And then this one says, yes, it is, but that amount is okay because they'll provide a steady home and love that the mother can, and she chose it to happen so her baby could be happy and healthy. And I just said, that doesn't negate the fact that the child's been traumatized. They may not cognitively remember, but it's stored in their nervous system and their subconscious. This one, she will adapt well with all the love and care she'll receive. Children flourish in an environment of love and feeling safe. And this one, traumatic but necessary at times, unfortunately. She'll not remember anything in a short time, luckily being so young. I'm sure it's better than the orphanage. And this one's my favorite. This person. And her name is, yes, my name is Karen. Yes, my name is Karen said, what an ignorant post. Really, who is the ignorant one here? And I did have one person, I mean, there was like secret people liking my replies and things, but you know, not many that were brave enough to like get in this arena with me and like really talk about it. But there was one lady and she did give it to some people in here. So, Antonia, I want to thank you so much. She was there right there with me and telling and educating people I had one person that said agenda much because she must have gone on my profile and saw that, you know, I have an adoptee podcast. And I thought, yeah, if you want to call me advocating to make adoption better, if you want to call that an agenda, that I'm educating the world about adoption, if you want to call that agenda, then yes, yes, I do have an agenda. My agenda is to help the adoptees coming up, you know, have a better experience than a lot of us have had. That is my agenda. And it's just crazy, some of the things I've been hearing lately coming out about, you know, back in the baby scoop era, it was pretty common for birth mothers to put an alias name on the birth certificate. Now, this is a legal document. Whether you are giving someone up for adoption and, you know, this isn't going to be their real birth certificate in the long run, that the moms were encouraged to give an alias on this official document. And it was totally legal to do. Just blows my mind. And I've heard this so many times. And it's like, they were told to put an alias on there to save, you know, their face basically. And so it would never get out that they did this, you know, that would never be on any official documents or anything. And the other thing is that the father, a lot of times you didn't even have to put a father's name on the birth certificate. You didn't even have to. It's totally fine. Just leave it blank. You know, and the father didn't even have to sign any paperwork relinquishing this baby. And this is part of what we're all advocating for is, you know, right, is like having that kinship adoption where the baby can stay in the family. And if you know the adopted chameleon, you know her father and her story where her dad didn't even know that she was born. He wanted her, like he would have had her, his family and him, they would have raised her. They had no idea she even existed. And what would have happened? You know, she claims that she had a great adoption experience for the most part. But what would have happened if she would have been given the chance to have her biology, her heritage, her family around her to raise her? How would things be different for her? She'll never know. You know, and so she's got to make up for lost time. And I don't know, a lot of times, and I don't know if this is how it is for her, but a lot of times those relationships, they're just not the same than if you were raised and grew up with that family. Those connections, the blood is there, but the connection, there's something missing. I'm not saying 100% of the time, but a lot of the time there is just something missing there. And, you know, I don't know. I'm so disappointed in society. I just can't believe how scarred we've become and how callous, you know, being kind and compassionate doesn't cost anything except maybe a little bit of your time. It doesn't cost any money. It just means you care and that you're listening and that you're validating and that what is wrong with validating someone? You know, I had one lady saying, everybody wants to be validated and, you know, like basically put your big girl panties on and get over it, you know, and that's like saying, stop crying, you know, or just stop being angry. That always works. Somebody tells you to stop being angry, I can snap right out of it. I'm good. No, it doesn't work that way. We all know that. So how is that helping? How is that helping at all? It makes no sense. And you know, you're okay with selling a baby for $70,000 when that $70,000 could have helped a family stay together for a long time. You know, I had Jenny Becknell on the show, and she is a birth mom and an adoptive mom. And, you know, she was saying that her adoptive son, that his grandfather wanted to raise, I think they had five kids in the family, I believe, and the grandfather wanted to raise them, but he couldn't raise five kids without getting some kind of assistance to help. But they'll give assistance to a foster parent to help raise that child, but they won't give money to the grandfather to help raise that child. Even Jenny was like, I don't want this money that you're giving me for this foster child. We're going to adopt him and I don't need that money. I'll take care of him. And they were like, no, this is your money. The system is so, so, so broken. I don't even know where to begin. I just really, really don't. But I think where we can begin is what I was just saying about being kind and compassionate needs to start with each other. And it needs to not only start with each other, because I see a lot of rocks thrown back and forth in adoptee land on social media. And I talk about this a lot where, you know, just because you validate someone else's story, it doesn't mean that you agree with their opinions. Everyone has their own opinion based on what they went through and what their story is. And we don't have to agree. We really don't. I can still validate your story and you and what you went through, even though that wasn't my story or what I went through. And I could say, I am so sorry that that was your experience. And I understand how it has shaped your opinion about adoption. I get it. That might not be my story, but I understand that that is your story. And I respect that. There's nothing wrong with that. Secondly, I feel like we need to open up our compassion floodgates for the entire triad. And I know this isn't a very popular belief for a lot of adoptees. And if you're not there yet, it's totally fine. I get it. But I just feel like your story as an adoptee didn't start the day you were born. It didn't start the day that your mother signed those adoption papers. It started way before that. And it could even be generations where this started. It was how your birth mother was raised. It could be how your grandmother was raised. It could be how your grandmother's grandmother was raised. And there's so many factors in it, but it starts with the birth mother, at the very least, and whatever she was going through. And it took me a long time to get to a place where I could step back from my own trauma and what I was going through and look through the lens of my birth mother and look at her story and what I knew of her story. And think, man, that must have been really hard. That could have been so different if her mother hadn't died when she was 6 months pregnant with me. If her father hadn't remarried and started a new life and disowned her, basically saying that he wasn't going to help her raise me. If my birth father hadn't left her and went to Vietnam and basically didn't want anything to do with her or me at that time. If none of that would have happened, my story would have been super different, very different. And I wonder, looking back, how different that would have been for my birth mother. Her life took some crazy turns after giving me up for adoption. And I just wonder what choices she would have made that maybe would have been different and how her life would have been different. I know she struggles. She has told me that doing that was the hardest thing that she's ever had to do. And I can totally understand that from being a mother and having two children of my own. I don't know how you do it. I've heard birth mother stories. I've read books, the memoirs, and I've had them on the show, and every time I just sit here and, you know, before the interview, I'm always like, how am I going to get through this interview? How am I going to get through? They're heartbreaking stories that just get to me. They get to me even more than the adoptee stories. But it's just given me a lot of compassion being able to, being in a place where I've healed to a point where I can step back and I can look objectively, I think, at her story and give her a little of kindness and compassion and understanding, and forgiveness. You know, and it took me a long time to get to that point, that I could release her, and which in turn released me and gave me freedom to keep healing myself. That was part of my healing process, was forgiving her and releasing her from any feelings, any ill feelings that I had towards her, because of her giving me up, and any feelings that I had feeling abandoned and not wanted. You know, for a long time, I was like, how can a mother do that? How can a normal person give up their child? It's got to be, most of the time, I'm not saying 100% of the time, but most of the time, it's got to be something pretty substantially traumatic for a birth mother to be able to do that. And I feel like in order for them to protect themselves, they can sometimes put a shell around them and become very hardened, even to us adoptees that want to come back and have some reunion, some kind of reunion experience with them. So it can be super hard for them to come around and crack open that shell. And it's almost like a callus that you just keep rubbing, and it gets thicker and thicker and thicker. And you know, that's the only way you can survive. How else can you survive that? And adoptees do the same thing. You know, we just keep building up that callus, thinking that it's going to protect us from the pain and the hurt that we're feeling. But it really doesn't. It doesn't help. It just kind of builds this cocoon around the pain. It's still there. And I want you to know, though, that I've done a lot of things in my healing journey. And I believe that each step that I took at a certain time was what I was supposed to be doing at that time. And I just kept experimenting and trying different things and kind of found my healing combination. And I want to encourage you that if you are still struggling, to don't stop looking for your healing combination. It is out there. There are so many things and therapies and groups and just so many resources out there for you. And yes, I am a somatic mindful guided imagery practitioner who would love to work with you, because I know that it can heal adoption trauma and the primal wound and so many other things. And if you think that's part of your healing combination, I am happy to talk with you. But I also have a list of other resources that if you think that one of these other things is going to help you, try it. What have you got to lose? You can regain yourself. You can regain your authenticity by healing this wound. And the best part about healing is not only do you get to live the life that you were made to live, and live out the purpose that you were meant to you were put here on this earth to live, but you can help others along the way now that you're healing, and you can talk about it. You can talk about it without it hurting. You can talk about it, and I can't even explain the peace I have now talking about my story. There's really no heartache there. And I'm not saying that I am totally healed, because as soon as I say that, there's another layer of fog that will come up around me and I'll go, okay, now there's this coming up. I don't think you're ever 100% healed. I really do think it's like peeling an onion, but I do feel like it's a journey that I'm willing to take on because I learn so much and I gain so much from the journey. So if you are struggling, I have a list of resources for you. Please get in contact with me at mindyourownkarma@gmail.com or my website, mindyourownkarma.com. If you are interested in somatic mindful guided imagery, there is some information on there. I also have a dedicated website, somatichealingjourneys.com. And you can get in touch with me all over the place. Social media, I'm everywhere. Find me. Mind Your Own Karma, you will find it. But anyway, I just kind of wanted to hear from you guys because I really do want to know what changes would you like to see? Now, let's be realistic. Adoption's not going anywhere anytime soon. So saying abolishing adoption is not going to happen right now. So what can we do right now? What other things can we do to get the word out, to educate the world, and do it in a way that is received well? Because probably putting that video on TikTok and putting that caption on there, and then I did feel triggered. I did. The comments were ignorant and very triggering, and I probably acted out in a triggering way some of my comments back, which is not bringing about the change that I want to see. So that probably wasn't the way to go about it. So what can we do? What ways can we go about it in a way that is receptive, where people want to hear what we have to say? And if you have any ideas, please get in touch with me. Again, mindyourownkarma@gmail.com. I'd really like to know. I feel like doing this podcast, I'm advocating quite a bit and I'm doing the best I can. But if there's anything else that I am missing, please let me know. I would love to hear it. So I think I am exhausted and I'm going to get off my soapbox. I think I've said all I can say today. Thank you for being my listening therapist. Every single one of you that is listening today, I feel much better, but I am very tired from all this TikTok nonsense. So I think I've learned my lesson. Maybe not, but I hope I have. Anyway, as always, take what you need and leave what you don't. And always remember to mind your own karma. And I'll see you next time.